Good to see each of you this morning. Good to have some visiting with us. Want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that has been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, or if you need to make your life right in any way, we'd be glad to assist you this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 11, I'd like to read with you verse 3. Psalm 11 and verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now then, if you take your New Testament and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like to read with you a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of hearing some of the things I hear and see today. I'm tired of professors and teachers brainwashing our young people into disbelieving in God. And I'm tired of it coming clothed as being intellectual and God being belittled and man being elevated. And I'm sick and tired of some people using religion to fight every political battle there is and that comes up. And we see more churches filled with people that are protesting one thing or another, but not teaching the truth of God. And I'm sick and tired of people calling sin a disease or a civil right when God has specifically deemed it a transgression. I'm sick and tired of hearing the voice telling our young people about safe sex or alternative and deviant sex, but not God's plan for that relationship. And I'm sick and tired of people crying out that Christians are judging their lifestyle when they hear Christians plea for them to turn to God and repent from their sin. And I'm tired of being told to be tolerant and accepting of people when they are intolerant and unaccepting of God and His people. And I'm sick and tired of all the experts who seem to have all the answers and claim to know all the answers to every issue, but they never look into God's Word and what the Creator has said. And you may say, preacher, I don't care what you're sick and tired of. But I want you to stop and think about this morning what David had to say about the foundations being destroyed. And when you look in the Psalms and the Psalm 11, David talked about if the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? Now, the foundations that would be destroyed, David is referring to, would be the political and moral foundations. But notice, this was not the foundation that the righteous were built upon. If you take your Bible in the 11th Psalm, look at what David said in verse 1. David said in verse 1, "In the Lord I put my trust." David recognized he's going to build his life upon the teaching of the Lord. He's going to center his life around what the Lord said. And he's going to trust what God has clearly stated to him. So then, I want you to think about that David said he's going to put his trust in God. Then when you look at the writing of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, notice that Paul said that there's no other foundation that no man can lay than the solid foundation. And he's talking about upon Christ and the teaching of Christ. I want you to stop this morning and recognize that there are some who are seeking to destroy the solid foundation. And then there are others who seek to build upon another foundation, which Paul said there is no other save Christ. And when you look about today, you'll find people seeking to destroy the moral fiber and destroy what God said. But I want you to stop and think about a second thing this morning. Just look around and stop and think about the effort that's being put forth to destroy the foundation of our society. What will happen if it is destroyed? And I want to tell you, my friend, some will stop at nothing to destroy the foundation. Some seek to utterly destroy and annihilate God's will, God's way, God's Word from our society. And it's true that I'm sick and tired of some things that I hear and see. But I want to stop for just a few moments this morning, and I want to talk about some things upon which I take my stand. I want you to stop and look at what David and Paul and others of the Bible said, where they would stand. And I want to point to the rock, the foundation on which I stand. And I want to ask you a question, is this where you stand this morning? With all the shifting sand and all the crumbling foundations and all that we see around about us, I have a question for you and a question for me. Where do I stand? And I want to tell you some things on which I take my stand. The first thing I want to tell you is I stand on the Bible, the Word of God. I believe this book is the Word of God. I believe this is the inspired Word, that it comes from God. It's God's revelation to man. If you take your Bible, look if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice if you will, at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now watch verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The world's seeking to destroy that foundation. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Do you recognize this morning that the only way you and I know what God has said is through His Word? I believe that this book is God's revealed will to man. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly to the Ephesian letter and the third chapter. In the Ephesian letter and the third chapter, look, if you will, beginning at verse 1. Paul lets us know that this is the revelation of God. He says in verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation God had revealed the message. He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." I believe that this Word, this book, this Bible tells me all I need to know about salvation and what God has told me about life beyond the grave and what God expects of me in this life. I build my life on this book. I want to tell you, my friend, there's no other documentation on the face of the earth which will stand like the book of God. And I want to build my life on something solid, something that will last. You know, constitutions being changed. You can hear about documents being changed. But you know what the Bible says about the Word of God? It abides forever. God does not change, Malachi said. And His Word does not change. Now, man may seek to change it, but His Word is everlasting. If you take your Bible for just a moment. Look, if you will, in the Hebrew letter for just a moment. In the Hebrew letter, notice with me, if you will, in the second chapter. It's not needed for me to prove by miracles that this is the Word of God. You know what? It's already been proven and confirmed. This morning, all I'm doing is preaching what others have already confirmed by miracles that this was from God. In the Hebrew letter and the second chapter, look if you will at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed? It was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. They proved that it was from God. They were able to perform a miracle to show the message that they uttered, the message that they wrote, came from the God of heaven. Now today we don't have that miraculous gift. Why? We already have the confirmed Word. It's already been proven to be true. This is the Word of God, and upon this rock I take my stand. But then I want you to think of something else. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know something? When someone says that, that should stir you. If you really believe Jesus is the Christ of God, you ought to feel that. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe He was the only begotten sent by God to redeem man of sin. This, of course, means I believe he was born of the Virgin. This means I believe that he died for my sins, as is taught in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3. This means I believe he rose from the dead, as Paul again said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3. And I believe that he is at the right hand of God. And I believe that by his blood I'm redeemed and forgiven of my sin. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the first chapter. When you come to the Ephesian letter in the first chapter, notice the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he lets them know they are redeemed by the blood of Christ. In him, he says in verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This morning when I partook of the Lord's Supper, I thought about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of my Lord. I thought of the fact He was sent from the glory of heaven to live amongst sinful flesh, and He lived a life dedicated to God, never once transgressing the law of God. And then He went to a cross, and He died on that cross. Why did He die there? To redeem you and to redeem me, to purchase us back, to save us from our sin. You know what I build my life on and the rock I stand this morning? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, some people will say that, but they don't build their life on it. And I want us to stop and to think about the fact that if Jesus Christ is the Son of God and we are redeemed by His blood, we must build our life on His teaching. But I'll tell you a third thing. I'll tell you somewhere else I stand. I believe He built His church. And you know what I believe with all my heart? It's His church. It's not my church. It's not your church. We didn't die for it. We didn't purchase it. He purchased it. In Matthew 16, 18, what did He tell Peter? Upon this rock, upon the confession that Peter made, that He was the Son of God. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Acts 20, 28 tells us the price He paid when He purchased the church with His own precious blood. And this morning I'll tell you what I believe and what I stand on this rock I stand. I stand on the fact that Jesus built His church. He purchased His people. The church is nothing more than blood-bought, redeemed people. And it's on that rock I stand. I believe I've been added to the body of Christ. I believe that when I was baptized for the remission of sins, that Jesus added me to His body as is taught in Acts 2, 47. And it's on that rock I take my stand. But then I want to tell you something else. I believe that if I'm a child of His, He'll never forsake me. You know, sometimes we get lonesome and sometimes we feel alone in this world and sometimes we look around and we wonder, where is God? I'll tell you where He is. God is with us. In Matthew 28, 20, what did He promise? He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, look at what Paul had to say to the churches at Rome. When he wrote to the church at Rome in Romans 8, look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? That's a great question. Notice the first part is who. Then he begins to name things. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? None of these things. Look in verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ever thought God is with us? Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter in the 13th chapter. In the Hebrew letter and the 13th chapter. In verse 5, notice the statement. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Have you ever stopped to think that God is with His people? Sometimes we look around and it looks like the foundations are being destroyed. It looks like immorality is going to win. I want to tell you, this isn't the first generation that felt this. You go back and you read in the days of Paul when they were persecuting Christians. You read in the days of the Revelation letter where they were being put to death for their faith. And notice, my friend, God was with them. Sometimes we think that God's just given up. I want you to understand God is still on His throne. and God is still with His people. God is with His children. But I want to tell you something else. I build my life on the fact that God's Word is true, and therefore I believe there's a hell. Oh, I recognize that's not popular in our day. And I recognize some seek to destroy God's teaching on the fact there's a hell. But when I read my Bible, I realize that God's Word has clearly and unequivocally stated that God has destined a place for the devil and his angels. He's prepared that place. And those who seek not to be God's children will go to that place. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter. When you come to the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter, notice, if you will, most kindly, the statement in verse 41. He said, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire." Prepared for who? The devil and his angels. But why are they going there? They did not heed the will of God. And you know, my friend, to deny there's a hell is to deny Jesus, because Jesus is the one who said there is a hell. Oh, I hear a lot of preachers today say, "Oh, God would not cast somebody into eternal damnation." I want to tell you, God will. Because God said He would. Oh, I know that's not popular. But if I'm going to believe the Bible's the Word of God, I have to believe what the Bible says about everything. And I take my stand on what Jesus has said. But I want you to think about something else. I believe there's a heaven. I don't know what it would be like to live this life without the hope of heaven. I've stood at the grave of loved ones who were in Christ, and I've thought about the fact that I have the hope of seeing them again. I'll never forget one time I went to a debate in Alabama between an atheist and a preacher. After the debate, a friend and I went up to the atheist, and I wanted to just talk to him about a minute. And you know why he didn't believe in God? He looked at me, and he said, "You know, my son died of AIDS." And he said, "I went to his grave, and I fell down on his grave." And he said, "I wanted to cry out to a God." He said, "But what God would allow my son to die?" And he said, "I picked up mud, I threw it down." He said, "There is no God." I tell you, it's the same God who allowed his son to die to redeem us from our sin. I can't imagine not having any hope of heaven beyond the grave. And people who try to take that hope from me, I'll tell them, "I don't know. On this rock I stand." In Revelation 21:4, you think of the picture that God gave of heaven. You think of the picture that God talked about when He will wipe away every tear from the eyes. I'd be content to have an angelic being wipe away my tears and comfort me. But I want you to look, it's the Father Himself who's going to look at His children when we're home and wipe away the tears. And there'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, no more pain. All the former things have passed away. You know, my friend, it's on this rock I take my stand. That's what I live for. That's the goal. That's where my citizenship is. As much as I love this country, I recognize this country's citizenship is temporary. Paul said in the Philippian letter, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where home is. The city of God. And I believe we'll live there, not just float around. It's on this rock I stand. I got another question. Where do you stand? Open your Bible for just a second to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. When you come to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, notice when Jesus closed the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus closed that magnificent sermon. He said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of my teachings and does them," notice you have to not just hear them, you have to apply them, "I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house. It did not fall, for why? It was founded on the rock. Not on the shifting sands of the world, but on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine," they hear the teaching, but look at the second part, "and does not do them, It's not enough, my friend, to come to the assembly and hear the teaching of God. It's not enough to read your Bible from time to time. And notice he said, you hear and you do them. Notice he said that those who do not do them, or does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, it fell, and great was its fall. I want to know, what are you building your life on? On what rock do you stand? Do you really stand on the Word of God? Do you really believe that Jesus is the chief cornerstone? Or have you built your life on the sifting sand of this world? I pray that the people that are here in this assembly understand the importance of having deep conviction in the Word of God. They have deep conviction. They build their lives on the Bible, on the fact Jesus is the Son of God, that He built His church, that He won't forsake us. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And that we are to be people doing what He has told us to do. I want my boys, Jackson, Sam, you look at me for a minute. I want you to stand with God no matter what anyone else does. If no one else is living right, you live for God. And that means if I'm not living right, you still live right. I want everyone, young people and older people alike, to understand that you stand with God. And if you, that means you stand alone, you stand because you won't be alone. What did He say? I'm with you. God is with you. And what I beg of the people of East Side is that we become a people that study this book and build our life up on it. Build our life on its promises, its precepts, its provision. Follow its command. Follow the examples and inferences. Because I want to tell you, where we stand now will determine where we stand in judgment. What did He say back in Matthew 25, 31 to 33? He separated them from the left and the right. There's going to be some standing on the left. They're going to hear, depart. And there's going to be those on the right. They're going to hear, enter. And I want us to understand there's no other foundation we can build upon. We must build upon the foundation God has given us. You know what we need to be at Eastside? Years ago, a president said that this country was a light, that the city on a hill. I'll tell you, I think that we need to understand, though, that's what God's people are. We're to be lights. We're to be salt. This society is corrupt. What does salt do? Salt stops the decay. This world is in darkness. What does light do? Light shows them the way to go. And the only way we do that is by building our life upon the rock. And if the only time we ever understand what God says is when we're in the walls of these buildings, I'll tell you, I feel sorry for us. We need to be at home studying. We need to know what God has declared. We need to build on the rock. Because I'll tell you something. It's the only foundation that will stay. What am I building my life on? What am I teaching my children to build their life? What are you teaching your grandchildren? The only thing our children and grandchildren see of us is good time daddy and good time granddaddy, but they don't see where we've built our life. And we don't teach them that the foundation of God's Word is where we need to build, then we've not done our job. Are you teaching them to build? Question, where do you stand? If you need to obey the gospel, we pray this morning you'll come now. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite.